Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle.
Despite Singapore being in phase two of its economy reopening, many businesses have decided to let their employees continue working from home. All this for their own safety, right? But working from home doesn't mean that you won't be tired, doesn't mean you won't be exhausted. There's a thing called Zoom fatigue or WebEx fatigue. That's the term that's often being used due to the situation that we're in right now. So if you are working from home and you're finding that you're more exhausted at the end of your workday than you used to be, you're not alone. Over the past few weeks or even months, mentions of the word Zoom fatigue have popped up more and more on social media. And Google searches for the same phrase have steadily increased since early March. Well, Cisco, one of the worldwide leaders in IT and networking, has recognized this fatigue, and they're trying their best to help their employees avoid that situation. But what exactly is WebEx or Zoom fatigue? I'm curious about this. And how can a company like Cisco help its employees avoid it? Well, on the line with me this morning is Deborah Woolard, who is Vice President HR in Asia Pacific at Cisco. Deborah, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks so much for taking the time. We'll talk a bit about Zoom fatigue in just a bit. For now, let's talk about Cisco. You guys are one of the worldwide leaders in IT and networking. Let's talk a little bit about Cisco's presence in Asia Pacific. I mean, what kind of headcount are we looking at here in Singapore?
So in Singapore, we have over 1,000 employees. And around the region, we have close to 20,000. Across Asia Pacific, so we've got a big presence, big teams, obviously working a lot with customers and partners around the region.
And you know, COVID-19 has had an impact on all businesses, but I think it must be quite unique where Cisco's operations are concerned. Well, what's the kind of impact that you guys saw?
Yeah, I think this is a never seen before time, absolutely, and I think COVID has led to, you know, real unprecedented changes in the way everybody works, and Cisco's certainly not been able to avoid that. I think, look, we're very lucky, obviously working technology and having access to great technology like WebEx. We're very familiar as an organization in the concept of working from home and utilizing those sorts of technologies. But of course, what we're seeing now is suddenly a very different version of working from home. I mean, A, having everybody at home all at once, and actually having our customers and a lot of our partners at home as well is really challenged around how we interact, you know, some of those traditional ways of interacting face-to-face, you know, building customer relationships, working with partners has really challenged us over the last few months, as, you know, with everybody else as well.
Yeah, we've gone from, I think for most people, they go from 0% to 100% where working from home is concerned. But for Cisco, what was the percentage, I know this might be a hard question, but what was the kind of rough percentage of people working from home? And even that, I probably wasn't 100% every day of the week, right? Before COVID-19.
Right. No, absolutely not. And look, we don't measure it really that way. The way we think about working from home is more part of our culture of flexible working.
Okay.
And again, because we've had access to great WebEx technology, I mean, we've always had this luxury of being able to decide where and when work gets done, depending on, you know, the type of work that we're doing at any given time, depending on what other dynamics might be going on in our personal lives. We've had that ability to be able to work flexibly. I do think, Elliot, it's worth calling out, you know, people talk about this work from home experience. This is not a normal work from home experience for anybody, right? This is having potentially children being homeschooled or suddenly having to work full time in an environment where you can't, you know, balance your time and go outside. I mean, this is not an ideal work from home experience for anybody. So for those who are doing it for the first time, I think many people might be a bit slightly misguided of believing it's a very negative experience. But I think, you know, in a different environment with more flexibility, it can be a really positive one.
Yeah, I saw a headline. I think it was from Bloomberg. I'm not too sure. But it talked about how a pandemic has destroyed the idea of work-life balance. Work from home was supposed to bring work-life balance, but not in this particular situation. Deborah, as a leader in IT, when it came to working from home, was there added pressure? Like, okay, we're Cisco, we must be able to transit easily.
Absolutely. And I think what's really happened for us is firstly getting our own teams organized and making sure all of our employees are equipped physically and sort of emotionally to be able to work from home in this period of time, but then also being able to help guide a lot of our customers who are moving very much to obviously technology-enabled working from home in a very short turnaround time. So I think the great thing has been we've been able to share some of our best practices and our learnings over the year of how to make it work well and being able to demonstrate that for customers and move quickly to set them up for success. But you're right. I mean, we are seeing, research is showing us, I think, days are longer. Recent study showed, I think, 15% increase in length in the average days for people working from home, and certainly more meetings. I think 25%, in fact, more meetings in terms of people trying to stay connected when everybody is working remotely and losing those opportunities to sort of meet around the water cooler or, you know, in the cafe area to make quick decisions. All of those opportunities have gone away. So we are definitely seeing more pressure, I think, on the time people are spending on calls, you know, in meetings and connecting just to stay together.
No, it's an interesting problem that you bring up, because this whole idea of, you know, getting on WebEx or getting on Zoom was meant to be a relief from isolation in that sense. You're able to at least see someone else's face. But now it seems that that has led to some kind of a fatigue. People get drained. People take for granted, you know, companies with branches in different time zones. Could you define this Zoom fatigue a little bit more for us?
Yes, I think it starts with people obviously wanting to remain connected, feeling, as I said, feeling that loss of those spontaneous social moments that really create rhythm in organisations and create that culture of how things get done. And I think what's happened is, you know, people have turned to relying on their technology, rather say WebEx fatigue, just for branding purposes.
Okay, sure, sure.
But obviously that need to utilise technology to create those connections. And I think in some ways, over time, we've over-indexed. You know, again, we're seeing statistics like 20% increase in the amount of time managers are reaching out to their team members. Now, on the one hand, you'd argue that's fantastic because managers are really focusing on, you know, the health, well-being and care of their teams. Mm-hmm. But the downside, of course, becomes the amount of time that means people are, whether it's on a camera on a video call, whether it's on the phone, whether it's through email, that need to stay connected has moved, I think, to technical platforms. And that's just meaning that generally people are spending a lot more time sitting at a desk or an environment where they're on some form of technology trying to stay connected.
Yeah, no tech timeout. But we did get you on the line, Deborah, to talk about what Cisco is doing in order to prevent this. So could you share with us how you guys are managing the situation?
Sure. So I think there's some real lessons in here around the role of an organisation and the duty of care we have to employees. So I think the first thing is making sure people have a physical environment that is conducive to them being able to work, you know, comfortably and effectively. So making sure our teams have access to, you know, good technology, good seating, good lighting, you know, an environment where they can actually get on and do some work. And I'm sure many of your listeners will agree it can get really difficult. Yeah. You know, not everybody's home environment has been set up that way, or they can afford the space to do so. So that's been one challenge, but I think that's absolutely critical. I think the second thing is, to your point earlier around time zones and connections, etc., I think there's been a real need to accept that people need to work when it's most suitable for them. And given the context of around the world, we've had children at home, we've had, you know, caregivers, we've had all sorts of scenarios, we've had to be very open to say, actually, people might work different hours now, and we need to be okay with that. We need to be far more flexible in focusing on, you know, the outcomes of the work and less around a traditional 9-to-5 or, you know, 8-to-6 work environment, because people have just not been able to work that way with their other demands from life. I think that's absolutely critical too. I think the third thing is just bringing new rituals, trying to find new ways of keeping strong social connection and culture when we've lost a lot of the traditional rituals we have in a workplace.
Right.
I think Singapore is a great example. You know, the classic Singapore, take an hour plus for lunch and go out and really enjoy that time and you know, spend the morning debating where we're going to have lunch, what we're going to do for that lunch hour. That's all disappeared.
Yeah.
And it's been really important that we supplement those rituals with other examples. So in Cisco, we have a lot of activities where we use our technology actually for more fun and social elements than this work. So we've done everything from virtual cocktail hours, we've done talent shows, we've done chair yoga sessions, mindfulness sessions, all sorts of things just to ensure people take time out from the work and still can come together and connect in those ways that we would have done if we were in the office together.
Oh, trust me, I'm at all the virtual cocktail hours and the extended virtual cocktail hours. But Deborah, as someone in HR, I mean, as the economy slowly starts to reopen and we adjust to this new normal, vaccine or no vaccine, surely when things get better and companies start hiring again, maybe even you guys over at Cisco, you're going to have to rewrite the entire HR playbook. I mean, work from home seems to be the future. It does solve some problems, like ladies going on maternity leave, for example. That can be extended a full year since you're working from home. What are the areas do you think are going to change when it comes to this HR playbook?
So look, I think first and foremost, we all sadly are going to have to accept that a return to office will be very different than we experienced our office life before COVID-19. And I think that we will have to be thinking very differently about the physical space, the office space. Seating, the number of people in meetings, social spaces will need to be different, even down to things like cutlery and stationery and what we provide and how those sort of services are brought in. And that means that, you're right, I think we will end up in a much more blended work environment where we will have times where people will come to the office, there'll be times where people do work from home, and I think will need to be a lot more fluidity in how people move in and out of sort of two forums for work. I think technology is going to play a huge part, actually. And from an HR perspective, you know, we need to be thinking through some of the implications on that in terms of sort of compliance and privacy. But I do think we need to expect that we will have to have more sort of tracing and follow up on where people are at all times, who they're interacting with, etc. So, yeah, we will need to be really thinking about more flexible work policies. Mm-hmm. And ensuring that we can move and adjust our HR practices to very much focus on the outcomes of work and far less on where people are at any given time and, you know, the more traditional policies around you're a fixed worker in an office or you're a mobile worker, etc. Now, fortunately at Cisco, I think we're very advanced in, we've been working in this way for a long time. It's in our DNA. And I, you know, hope that we can share and that other organisations can really learn to build these sort of muscles, because I think it's a very attractive proposition for candidates to be able to work in ways that give them flexibility going forward.
And HR professionals will probably also have to be trained even more when it comes to mental health. You guys are going to have to be semi-psychologists because of the distance between us now in that sense.
Yeah, look, it's a really great call out, and we've been doing an enormous amount of work in this, what we're calling our wellbeing space.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And as I said, it's everything from physical well-being and making sure people are working in environments that, you know, is conducive to doing great work. As you said, I think for many people, one of the anxieties of working from home has been that sense of, am I still seen? You know, does my employer, my team know I'm here? Do they know what I'm doing? How can I stay connected? So I think there's a lot of pressure on us to think about the emotional and mental well-being. And I think it's a company's responsibility. You know, I think increasingly this health crisis has shown us that employers everywhere have first and foremost a responsibility to the health and safety of their employees when we're asking them to undertake work.
I've been speaking with Deborah Woollard, who is Vice President HR in Asia Pacific at Cisco. Deborah, thanks so much for taking the time. Take care and stay safe. Yeah.
Pleasure. Thanks, Elliot.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.